9.5 minutes after 7 on Thursday morning, June 14th, and in addition to being Heat Awareness Day, it's also Flag Day. I'm John Munson in for Joy Cardine on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Do local elections matter? How about state elections? To help give you an idea, is this finding. Local TV news shows spent an average of 36 seconds covering local elections in a half-hour broadcast. That's 2% of their total airtime. That's from a report of Midwest broadcasters and their coverage during last fall's elections. Our guest this hour says local and state elections deserve more time, and so do you. He'll explain why he feels the Federal Communications Commission should create standards to make broadcasters devote more time to local elections, and that way you'll be better informed. What do you think? Do you want more local election coverage from the media? Is it not important to you? Does TV coverage matter if you can get election news from places like the Internet, or better yet, from Wisconsin Public Radio? You can join with your questions and comments at 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. That's a toll-free number, good anywhere you can hear this broadcast. Our Madison number is 263-1890, 263-1890. You can join us by email. The address is talk@wpr.org. Our guest this hour by telephone is Mike McCabe, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. Good morning, Mr. McCabe. Thank you for joining us today.
Well, good morning. Thanks for having me.
Tell us, let's start out a little bit and tell us a little bit about this study that was done and who did it and what they found.
Well, this is actually an ongoing series of studies, alliance of reform groups throughout the Midwest in five states has been working with the University of Wisconsin's News Lab to monitor local television news. And the first study that was released covered the month after the traditional Labor Day kickoff of the campaign season in 2006. The second study looked at the next month, which was the month leading up to the November general election. And then the most recent study covered the first quarter of 2007, which in most of the five states was a period where there was not an election. So that third installment of this ongoing analysis covered a period for the first time that didn't involve an election season. So we got a glimpse into how they're covering government when there's not an election campaign going on. And so this will be an ongoing study for a year. It's a product that is being called the Midwest News Index, which will keep track of the local evening news coverage on about three dozen stations in nine television markets in five states, Wisconsin, Minnesota, Illinois, Ohio, and Michigan.
I have in front of me a breakdown of what the study found the average content was in a 30-minute broadcast, and I want to go through this. Advertising was a little over 10 minutes. Sports and weather, 7 minutes approximately. Crime, about 2.5 minutes. Other, I don't know exactly what that is, maybe happy talk, about 2 minutes and 18 seconds. Local interest, a little over 2 minutes. Teasers, bumpers, and intros, a minute 46. Non-campaign government news, a minute and 6 seconds. Health, a minute and 4 seconds. Business and the economy, a minute and 2 seconds. And election coverage, 36 seconds. Foreign policy, 23 seconds. And unintentional injury, 11 seconds. Well, we wouldn't expect too much foreign policy news in our local news broadcast, so I'm surprised there was any. I guess from the standpoint of broadcasters, they would say advertising is what pays for the rest of the program, and people want sports and weather. I wonder if one reason for there not being a lot of coverage of campaigns is that while we had a program about this yesterday, there's a certain level of campaign fatigue among viewers and listeners. Maybe the judgment of the programming people is that that's not news that's going to sell any commercials, so let's just forget about it.
Well, you know, I guess I would ask people to look at it this way. Think about what matters most in life, what is really important in our world. And then you really would expect a newscast to reflect what matters most, what's most newsworthy and what's most important for us to know about. And if you apply that standard, then what local evening news is telling us is that commercial advertising, sports, weather, and crime are the most important things, the things that matter most. And that is a very sad commentary on what the people responsible for producing local evening news think we ought to know about most. And when you look at these numbers, you know, even the lead-ins that they do to keep you watching their newscast, they call them teasers or bumpers, the kinds of intros that they do to upcoming stories actually takes up more time than meat and potatoes coverage of government or election campaigns, even during key election seasons. This most recent study, the third installment of the Midwest News Index, looked at a period of time when Wisconsin was leading up to our spring nonpartisan elections, and on the ballot was an extremely contentious, high-profile state Supreme Court race that turned out to be the most expensive and ugliest in state history. And yet, local TV stations here in Wisconsin, in the Madison and Milwaukee markets, ignored election coverage. Madison stations devoted 29 seconds in an average 30-minute newscast to election coverage, and Milwaukee stations aired an average of 10 seconds. That included all of the local races for city council and county board that were on ballots in places around the state, and it also included that state Supreme Court race, and it just was ignored.
We're going to take a break for the weather, and then we'll come back and talk more about this. You can join us, too, at 800-642-1234. In Madison, use 263-1890. I'm John Munson. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 18 after 7. John Munson sitting in for Joy Cardine. This week on the Ideas Network, Joy will be back in this chair on Monday. Well, coming up later today, after 5, join Ben Marins live at Heritage Hills State Historical Park in Green Bay as he and his guests talk about the challenges of keeping Lake Michigan clean. That's after 5 at Issue with Ben Marins here on the Ideas Network. Well, this hour we're talking about how well or how poorly local television stations have been covering election issues. And if you'd like to join our discussion, you can do so. 800-642-1234. 800-642-1234. In Madison, the number to call is 263-1890, 263-1890. You can reach us on the Internet by sending an email to talk@wpr.org. We are joined on this hour by Mike McCabe, who is Executive Director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. Mr. McCabe, just before the weather break, we were talking about coverage of the most recent election, the spring election, which I believe about the only statewide issue that was on the ballot was the Supreme Court race. And as you said, it was the most expensive in state history. And I have to agree with your assessment that it was also the nastiest. I couldn't believe the number and the tone of the television ads that I saw, and even the commercials I heard on commercial radio as well. It was really strikingly unusual. Your contention is that there was not a lot of news coverage on television, according to the research that was done as part of this project.
Almost none. And you know, the other thing that was very striking about the ads, John, was that the issues that they focused on as the mud was being thrown, the issues were issues that state Supreme Court justices don't even deal with, like the sentencing of violent criminals. Criminal sentencing is not something that makes it to the state Supreme Court, and overwhelmingly, state Supreme Court justices deal with civil matters, not criminal matters. And so here you had not only advertising that was repulsively nasty and ugly, but you also had advertising that was focusing on issues that are irrelevant to this particular office. And there was no counterbalancing news coverage that helped inform voters of the actual issues that state Supreme Court justices would deal with and try to provide some insight into where these candidates stood. So, you know, justice is supposed to be blind, but voters aren't. They're not supposed to be blind, and yet we had an election where I think voters were kept in the dark about what really matters about the state Supreme Court race. And when, you know, Milwaukee stations are airing an average of 10 seconds of coverage a night, for all of the local races and the state Supreme Court race, you can't inform voters about anything when such a pitifully small amount of time is being devoted to the topic.
The going back to the general election, we had a race for governor in the state of Wisconsin, and broadcasters statewide put on a number of candidate forums relating to the governor's race. They had both candidates on. These broadcasts were about an hour in length. They were carried by many television stations across the state. Wisconsin Public Radio broadcast them live. I know that the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association would point to this as an example of how they actually did provide people with a chance to see and hear the candidates and let them speak for themselves and answer questions from reporters. That this was something that they did at great cost to themselves, and that this was a fulfillment of their responsibility.
Well, you know, I certainly applaud broadcasters every time they do step up and provide some public interest programming. But even when you account for the few debates that are aired, the amount of time devoted to politics and government is dwarfed by the amount of time that is devoted on a daily basis and a nightly basis to sports, weather, crime, and promotion of other programming that's on television. And the other thing that I think is important to mention is that you need to put government and politics and important issues that the public needs to think about when preparing to vote on your most watched programming. And the sad fact is that televised debates get very few eyeballs. Very few people actually sit and watch an hour-long debate. They will occasionally see bits and pieces of those debates on newscasts if it's covered, but that's where it's not being covered. And on a nightly basis, elections and the political process is being routinely ignored, and then on rare occasions, a half hour or hour long debate is featured. This needs to be something that is featured in a more meaningful way on those evening newscasts, because those are the most watched programs. That's where you've really got the eyes fixed to the television set, and during those moments when most people are watching, and this is where most people get most of their information about politics and government, and that's what all the social science research shows. It's from local evening newscasts, and when you're watching those, it's commercial advertising, sports, weather, crime, and promotions of other programming.
The programming strategies that television stations use to attract viewers aren't something they pull out of a hat or a Cracker Jack box. I mean, these people are spending lots and lots and lots of money to do both quantitative and qualitative research to determine why people tune in, what will make them tune out, what they're interested in. And this has been developed over a number of years. And I think if we had a television station programmer in here, he or she would tell you that what they put on the news is what people want to see. And if they don't put that on, people will watch some other station, or since most of us have many other choices other than local broadcast outlets with the penetration of cable and satellite, we'd rather watch a rerun of MASH or CSI Las Vegas than to watch a television news program that isn't giving us what it is we say we want.
Well, you know, I think that's where the Federal Communications Commission has to come into the equation. Serving the public interest doesn't simply mean giving us what fascinates us or what, you know, what makes us rubberneck. And, you know, and obviously crime and accidents draw our attention, and entertainment programming lures us and entices us. But we also have to have information so that we can function as citizens in a democracy. And when the social science research says that most people get most of their information about politics and government from local evening newscasts by a solid majority, then our democracy can only be healthy and can only function if local evening newscasts provide us some information about politics and government. And, you know, and the second of the three installments of this Midwest News Index looked at the month right leading up to the November election, which the ballot was chock full of all kinds of races, including a race for governor. And what the research showed is that there was two and a half times more political advertising than there was election news coverage. So if local evening newscasts are where most people are getting their information about politics and government, where they're really getting their information from are these paid political ads by the candidates. And that's the worst possible place for people to get the information. There needs to be serious journalism that provides a counterbalance, that you're not just seeing these ugly attack ads and misleading kinds of claims and feel-good sorts of advertising. But you should have serious journalism that holds the candidates' views up to scrutiny. And I think that's where the Federal Communications Commission has to come in and recreate standards that used to exist in our society and served our society well, but have been allowed to fall by the wayside.
We're going to get to what it is specifically your organization wants the Federal Communications Commission to do. First, we'll check the news from around the state of Wisconsin. But we've got about a minute before we have to go to the news, and give us a brief, about 30-second version of what it is you want to see the Federal Communications Commission do.
Well, we can go into more detail after the break, but just briefly, let me say that what we would like the FCC to do is become relevant again and begin to play a role like it did in the past when we had a fairness doctrine, when we had public interest standards that were enforced. And the FCC has let all of that fall away, and they've allowed broadcasters to use the public airwaves as they see fit, to entertain us, to sell products to us, but not to inform and educate us as citizens in a democracy. And we need the FCC to begin to upgrade and enforce again public interest obligations on local television broadcasters.
We're going to take up those points and more, and your phone calls after the news coming up next. The phone numbers to reach us, 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234, 263-1890 if you're in Madison. What do you think? Do you want to see more political coverage on your local evening newscast? Let us know. Lines are open, and you can also email us at talk@wpr.org. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Good morning. It's 7:35. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. John Munson sitting in for Joy Cardine. Joy will be back on Monday. This hour, we're talking about election coverage by local television broadcasters. Our guest is the Executive Director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, Mike McCabe. He joins us by telephone, and you can too. We have open lines for you now at 800-642-1234, toll free. In Madison, call us at 263-1890. You can also reach us via email, the address talk@wpr.org. Well, just before the break, Mr. McCabe, we were talking about what your organization would like to see the Federal Communications Commission do. It seems to me the Federal Communications Commission abandoned the public interest standard and switched to sort of a market-based way to look at how programming was regulated under Mark Fowler in the late 70s and then in deregulation in the 1980s. all the programming standards except those related to obscenity were pretty much tossed out.
You're absolutely right. That's exactly what happened. And what we're saying, and this is about 16 groups across the five-state Midwest region that is covered by Midwest News Index, what we're saying is we need to get the FCC back in the game of enforcing public, of recreating and then enforcing public interest standards, so that television stations that use the public's airwaves free of charge, they get free licenses to operate on these airwaves, will give the public something back. And just before the break, you posed a question: do we want to see more political news coverage? And I don't know how your listeners feel, but my answer to that would be no, I don't. If that political news coverage is what is currently being served up. The problem is not just quantity. It's not just that such a pitifully little amount of time is being devoted to the subject, but the problem is also quality. Most political news coverage, according to the Midwest News Index findings, is actually horse race coverage. It's who's leading in the polls. It's who's raising the most money. What they're basically telling us is who's likely to win. They're not giving us information that we can use to make up our own minds. And when broadcasters will typically say, you know, all of our research shows that people don't want to see this political news coverage, well, you know, I'm fascinated by politics, but I don't want to see political news coverage the way it's being done by local television news. I don't want to simply be told who's likely to win. I want to be given information that I can use as a voter to make an informed choice. And that's where television stations are failing us miserably. We need the FCC to come back in and say, and begin to recreate things like the fairness doctrine and public interest standards that say, here's what you need to do in order to get this free license to operate on extremely profitably on the public's airwaves. You need to give us what we need to be able to function as a democracy. And that's what the FCC used to do, and that's what the FCC now has totally abandoned, as you say.
Well, one reason for that is that the Supreme Court, starting in the late 80s, began to step away from earlier decisions which had used the scarcity doctrine, the idea that the electromagnetic spectrum that broadcasters use is a scarce resource, and there are few stations, or a limited number of stations, and so it's important that we enforce programming rules. With the explosion of other media outlets, the court began to step away from that doctrine, and indeed it looked like the fairness doctrine itself, which you alluded to before the break, was about to be struck down as unconstitutional when the Federal Communications Commission abandoned it itself. Do you consider it likely that the Federal Communications Commission is going to try to go back and capture a standard that everybody seems to have stepped away from about 30 years ago?
No, I don't think that they should go back and simply put in place what was there. What they need to do is go back to the drawing board and come up with standards that serve the same general purpose as those old standards, but are suited to the modern age. And I think this is a really critical moment for the FCC. And the reason that these groups in this Midwest Democracy Network came forward and issued this plea to the FCC at this moment is that we're now going through the transition from analog television to digital television. This creates an opening for the FCC to define for in the modern era what it means to serve the public interest. And you know, it used to be that a television station would get Channel 5 on the broadcast spectrum and could broadcast on that piece of the spectrum. Well, in the digital age, they'll be able to multicast, and a broadcaster that has Channel 5 will be able to multicast on numerous stations, 5.1, 5.2, 5.3. Well, I think the temptation, if left to their own devices, but what the broadcasters will do is push all of the substance off of their most watched channel and fill it with entertainment and the most sensational and sexy kind of stuff that they can put on their most watched channel, and they will abandon public interest programming altogether. And that's where the FCC, as we go through this transition from analog television to digital television has to recreate public interest standards. And they can't simply go back and put in place what used to be there, because digital television is going to be dramatically different than analog television was. So this is an opportunity, a moment, where the FCC can step up and create something brand new that serves the same purpose as those old standards did, to make sure that the airwaves, free over-the-air television, is being done in a way that actually serves the public interest and doesn't simply allow broadcasters to profiteer at the expense of our democracy.
Let's go to the phones and take a call. Laverne from Monroe, you're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning. Great program. They're stealing more than just our freedom of speech, and I agree with you in their fairness doctrine. They're also stealing our pension funds and a lot of other things. They got 35,000 lobbyists down there paid better than a lot of the legislators. When you go on the web, you see large consultant firms. They operate just like Enron. And they want to get rid of the Sarbanes-Oxley bill. They're a bunch of crooks.
There's someone who agrees with you.
Well, you know, and I run into that frustration everywhere I go. I think if the FCC would actually get out of Washington, and one of the things we're asking them to do is come to the Midwest and hold hearings and hear from the public about how the public feels they're being served by these broadcast companies. And the FCC has been highly unwilling to come and talk to the people, because I think they know what they would hear. It would be that kind of frustration that people are expressing. People don't want to simply be fed commercial advertising, sports, weather, and crime. When there's a pitiful little amount of government coverage or election coverage, they don't want to simply be told who's likely going to win the election and make it out to be a foregone conclusion. People want something that they can use as citizens to make their own decisions, and that's where local commercial television is failing miserably, and that's what the FCC could change. This is a moment in our democracy's history when we need an FCC to be wise and to be aggressive and assertive like we've never before.
Our phone number, if you'd like to join our conversation, lines are open, 800-642-1234. 800-642-1234, that's a toll-free number anywhere you can hear this broadcast. In Madison, we'd prefer that you call 263-1890, 263-1890. Our email address is talk@WPR.org. We're talking about television news coverage of political events, of elections, of candidates, of issues, and the fact that it doesn't seem to be there. A recent piece of research suggests that there's just not much television coverage of these things, and what's there is not necessarily very good. What do you think? Give us a call and let us know. There's room for you if you call right now. I'm John Munson, and this is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. 7:46, you're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up after 10 this morning, according to a recent study, military service doubles the risk for suicide among males. Kathleen Dunn and her guest will discuss the VA's response and mental health screening. That's after 10 o'clock this morning. Kathleen Dunn here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Campaign news coverage on our minds this hour with Mike McCabe, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. And we've got a number of emails. I want to get to these and then we'll go back to the phones. Ray from Chilton writes, "Do you think the station managers fear that any candidates would pull their commercials from the station if that station scrutinized the misleading, false, and irrelevant claims made by the candidate in those commercials or in public statements? What about that? Is there some fear that candidates would pull their advertising if the stations get too aggressive with their reporting?"
Well, political advertising has become a huge cash cow for television stations, but this is where journalists need to take a journalistic stand, and they need to send an unmistakable message to the political class that the public will be informed about these issues and informed properly, and if they want to pull their advertising, so be it. And I think if they took that hard stand with politicians, the politicians would eventually come around and say, hey, I need to reach those voters through those ads, and the ads would still air. So this is just where journalistic standards have to prevail.
Well, and I want to say in defense of journalists around the state, many of whom I know, there's a pretty thick wall between the advertising area of the organizations and the newsroom.
Yeah, and I agree. But the problem is that there are fewer of those journalists, and a lot of newsrooms have really been emptied, and television stations in particular aren't devoting people. There are, in the 50 states, there are about 500 people, or about 10 people per state, covering state capitals. There are 40,000 lobbyists working the halls of those state capitals. That's not, you know, when you've got 500 sets of eyes trying to look out for what's happening and inform the public, but you've got 40,000 special interest lobbyists working those legislators, that's not a fair fight.
Let's go back to the phones and take a call from Mary. Mary, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, you're on the air. Go ahead.
I'm a media buyer, a local media buyer, and I have noticed lately that those lines between news and advertising have become a little bit thinner. They're actually sometimes trying to sell space on the news instead of drawing those lines. They used to allow us to, you know, sometimes they would promote events if you would do it through a PR department, and it was never, money had never crossed hands. But now they're actually, some stations are actually trying to sell space on the news, and I think other stations are watching the ratings to see if those ratings will be hurt, if viewers will tune out from that kind of stuff or not.
Mike McCabe, care to comment on that?
Well, you know, this, you know, actually one of the things that is an alarming trend as well that kind of dovetails with this caller's remark is the prevalence of fake news, where television stations have been increasingly airing segments that are passed off as news but are in fact video news releases that are produced by corporate advertisers, and it's being passed off as part of the news content. Those video news releases have been chronicled and roundly criticized by a group called Center for Media and Democracy, and this is an issue that has been brought to the FCC's attention, and it shows where the intense commercial pressures are creating some real problems in local television news.
Let's go next to Bob in Appleton. Bob, good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I just think that something called termed the fairness doctrine just seems hard to come up with. You know, anytime you have a person deciding, you know, what's fair, it's just like we all have a bias, and it would be, I think, just very difficult to have a person or board determine, well, let's have 50% of this viewpoint, 50% of this viewpoint. And on another thing is C-SPAN. C-SPAN seems to be something where it's just, you know, we watch government at work, and that seems to be very, you know, unbiased, and we get what's going on. And I'm just curious how many people watch C-SPAN. It seems like maybe your guest, if your guest thinks that C-SPAN is a good thing and he would like that expanded, or if he wants, you know, people in there making determines what is fair, or should we just be watching government working more?
Care to comment?
Yeah, there are two excellent questions there. First, the Fairness Doctrine didn't ever try to define what was fair. People do have biases, and they do have philosophies. And what the Fairness Doctrine said is that if one view gets expressed, broadcasters have an obligation to also air opposing views. And the idea being that if viewers get to see and hear lots of different perspectives, then they're going to be better informed and better able to make up their own minds. In the modern age, the FCC, I think, needs to go back to the drawing board and think about how you can do something that serves that general purpose of making sure that many diverse views are heard. In the age of digital television, the second question about C-SPAN, I think, is a really important one. I think C-SPAN's a great service, There's also a fledgling effort here at the state level called Wisconsin I that's aiming to serve the same purpose. But here's my concern. Democracy is being increasingly treated as a niche event by television. It's being treated as something that can sort of be shunted off to some little niche station where the most eyeballs are still watching over-the-air local evening newscasts. Democracy should not be treated as something that a few political junkies or a few democracy geeks are going to watch. It needs to be treated as something that matters in our world and matters to everybody. And that's where local broadcasters can't be let off the hook, and they can't be allowed to say, let them eat cable, and let them go off to some little niche station and get their fix. Democracy needs to be something that is at least as central to local programming as things like advertising, sports, weather, and crime.
Here's another email from Ray in Mequon. We need the FCC to step up not only to improve political coverage, but to keep local news outlets from disguising advertising as news. Last night, a local Milwaukee station did a special story on dietary practices that are alleged to improve fertility. This material has not, to my knowledge, been substantiated by good research, and even if it were, only the gee whiz side of the issue was presented. As it stood, the story was nothing more than an advertisement for the clinic. This is another practice that needs to be curtailed.
That's the one I was just referring to, these so-called video news releases that companies are providing. One of the things that you'll see on local evening news a lot are health segments that talk about one health-related development or another. And they're passed off as news. But in a distressing number of cases, these health segments have actually been produced by pharmaceutical companies or other companies in the health industry. There are other segments of the news that have been prone to invasion by these video news releases as well. But the health segments, I think, are a particular area where you're seeing that. And you know, at the very least, the TV station should be required to put a clear disclaimer on there saying who produced the piece, so that viewers can then judge for themselves, because this stuff is being passed off as programming that was produced by their own journalists, when in fact it was produced by a company that has an interest in selling a drug or you know, as the emailer says, you know, promoting a clinic.
We'll take another call here. We don't have a lot of time, so please be concise. Nate in Madison, you're up. Go ahead. Nate, go ahead.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. My concern was that we get more opinion than fact in the news anymore, and I wonder if that has anything to do with the fact that the FCC has relaxed rules on ownership of how many publications or TV stations these media conglomerates can have in a local setting.
Well, I think it has to do with two factors that both directly link to the FCC's failure. One is the demise of the fairness doctrine. Now you can have a broadcaster simply tell people one side, and you can have people on the air who are proselytizing and who are you know, propagandizing and telling people what to think. And there's no obligation. There's no longer a legal obligation for the broadcasters to provide alternative viewpoints. So the loss of the fairness doctrine is an incredibly important cause of the rise of what this caller is pointing to, and that's the clear opinion on just one side that we're getting from more and more broadcasters. And then I think media consolidation absolutely has a lot to do with this. What we're seeing is fewer and fewer owners owning more and more of the stations, and we are, you know, you look at the Milwaukee market, one company owns the daily newspaper in Milwaukee, it owns the top TV station, the top radio station in the market, all the weekly newspapers in the market, and that's not healthy to have a single corporate entity controlling so many of the media outlets in a market. When there's diverse ownership, then there will also be much more likely to see a diverse range of opinion and a diverse set of journalistic practices. You'll see a much nicer blend if you've got more diverse ownership. That's something the FCC has absolutely fallen off or fallen short on, is this whole question of media ownership.
We've got about 30 seconds left. You've written a letter to the Federal Communications Commission. What's the next step?
Well, we want hearings throughout the Midwest, and ultimately we're going to keep putting pressure on. We're going to continue doing the monitoring through this Midwest News Index. And the bottom line, I think, is that the public also needs to contact the FCC and be heard and insist on hearings, and then go to those hearings because these are our public airwaves, and they're being used for a purpose that hardly serves the public interest.
Thank you very much, Mike McCabe, for joining us this morning.
Well, thanks for having me.
Mike McCabe, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. If you'd like a copy of today's program, it's number 614B as in boy. You can get it from the radio store by calling 800-747-7444. Ask for program 614B. It was produced by Leo Duran with on-air production provided by Christina Taylor. I'm John Munson. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
We're always interested in hearing what you think about our programming. Please write to us with your comments at Audience Services, Wisconsin Public Radio, 821 University Avenue, Madison 53706.
Well, here's your Heat Awareness Day forecast, also for Flag Day. Gosh, lots of things going on today. Sunny and hot today. Temperature near 90, mostly clear tonight. Overnight, 62 degrees predicted for the low. Sunny and hot tomorrow, again near 90 degrees. Overnight temperatures in the mid-60s tomorrow night. Extending the forecast out through the weekend. Should be a nice one if you plan to be outdoors. Sunny and hot. Chance of storms on Monday, though. Temperatures in the upper 80s. Overnight temperatures in the lower to mid-60s. It's 68 degrees and sunny just before 8 o'clock.